ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
क्षीरं सरोऽप्यकरुरे हस्तिनैकेन लीलया आरुह्य प्रययाब्धिं सुरासुरकनयत्रितः.
The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk surrounded by the demigods and demons. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. There are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above both of them. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here. For simply with one hand he lifted Mandara Mountain. The demigods and the demons placed them on the back of Garuda and brought them to the ocean of milk. Now, the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it may be. But although demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing this incident, would say that it is mythological. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain? Since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of Mandara mountains, why can't he lift one of them with his own hand? This is not mythology. But the difference between the believers and the faithless is that the believers accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures to be true, whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the demigods and the demons. Translation: the Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk surrounded by the demigods and the demons. Previous verses, we have read of the great struggle that the demigods and the demons jointly undertook in the attempt to move this enormous golden mountain of the name Mandara. We have read that although many of them were great Maharathis, powerful, powerful warriors, controllers of huge, inconceivable functions of the entire universe, this mountain of gold was such a challenge for them that in the process of trying to move it, they were straining and struggling with all of their energy. They were screaming and howling in pain because it was so difficult. And despite all this, the mountain kept falling and crushing their limbs and even crushing their bodies to death. And here are the most powerful rulers of the entire universe At that time, Lord Narayan descended on his bird carrier Garuda, and effortlessly with one hand he lifted the mountain and put it on the back of Garuda. This is the difference between God and even the most powerful of all living beings. Whoever we are insignificant before Krishna. In the Brahman Bhavan Lila, in the Bhagavad Purana, we read of the most powerful of all the devatas, Lord Brahma, and how, after seeing the inconceivable opulence of Sri Krishna, Lord Brahma was comparing himself to be a firefly who in the night appears to be generating great quantities of light, but in the presence of the sun, the firefly has utterly no significance whatsoever. Now, what is our position compared to Lord Brahma? Lord Brahma lives for trillions and trillions of years. Lord Brahma is the creator of everything that we see within this entire universe. He is the direct agent of Krishna for the purpose of creation. Sometimes we create something, we think we're already good. We decorate the temple nicely, this tiny little room in this tiny little city, we think, ah, just see what we have done. Or we build some factory somewhere, we think, oh, I have built this factory. Or we have a nice home, and we think, ah, I am single-handedly supporting this nice home. Lord Brahma has created all planets and everything within all planets. And yet, when he came before Krishna, he understood Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimutatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of activities. Actually, they are being carried out by nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharaksharam hetunanam kontaya jagat viparivaratate. And when we speak of nature, we must understand that this material nature is working under the direction of Krishna. It is his nature. Therefore, he is sarava karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He is the ultimate doer of everything. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is taking place by the divine direction of Sri Hari. Therefore, this idea of accident, oh, is a word that is used very loosely. Maybe by our calculations, as far as according to our plans, something may be an accident. But on a higher level, there is no accidents. For a devotee, everything is being orchestrated by Krishna's divine hand. And whatever good or bad is taking place, it is all for the ultimate good of that devotee. Although sometimes we cannot understand how and why. Krishna puts us in certain situations which appear to be detrimental. But nothing is detrimental for a devotee who has faith in God. Everything is a perfect opportunity for spiritual development, for spiritual advancement. And for the karmis, they are under the direction of the laws of karma. The actions and reactions of material nature are constantly coming upon them. But as Krishna explains, this is all happening under his direction. He has created the laws of karma. Therefore, whoever we are, in all 8,400,000 species of life, at every second, at every moment of our existence, nothing is happening by chance. Everything is taking place according to the divine will of the Lord. Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantyamanya manaso gyatva bhutati abhyayam. This means that the difference between a devotee and a demon, or a non-devotee, is that the devotee puts himself under the direction of the spiritual energy. Daivi Prakriti. And the non-devotee puts himself under the Maya Prakriti, or the illusory energy. Now, what is the difference between Daivi Prakriti and Maya Prakriti? It is the difference between our own mental concoction and accepting the higher authority of the will of God. That is the only difference. If we act according to our own conclusions, according to our own conceptions, then we are putting ourselves under the influence of Maya Shakti. But as soon as we surrender and accept submissively the supreme will of God, which is coming through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then immediately we are under the Daivi Prakriti, the spiritual energy. Such a person, Krishna declares to be a Mahatma, a great soul. Being a Mahatma doesn't mean being a great speaker. Being a Mahatma doesn't mean being a great pujari. It doesn't even mean being a sannyasi or a guru. Being a Mahatma means Daivim Prakritam Ashrita, one who puts himself under the direction of the divine energy. That means one who submits himself before God. That is a Mahatma. And that is the very essence of Krishna consciousness. To put aside our own conclusions and accept the will of God. Then Krishna explains that such a person is fully under his protection. Such a person has nothing to fear. But as soon as we act according to our own whims, we have everything to fear because our life is in our own hands. So therefore, this is the great vision of the Mahabhagavats. They see that Krishna is the controller and he is the protector and he is always the uplifter of those who surrender to his lotus feet. They have this faith, they have this confidence that Krishna, if I simply, thy will be done, not my will be done. If we accept this conclusion, then Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja, mame kam sharanam taja, aham tvam sarva papi vyo moksha ishami maja. Notice how he explains, very important. Abandon all varieties of dharma or religion. Just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. He ends the most essential and critical verse of Bhagavad Gita with these words, do not fear. What does that mean? In this material world, as long as we put our life in our own hands, according to our own conclusions, we have everything to fear. Because everything will be taken away from us. We will be embarrassed by the laws of material nature, inevitably. There's nothing we can do about it. But if you surrender to Krishna, you have nothing to fear. Why? Because you are in the hands of God. This is his promise. This is his verdict. Sometimes when someone comes to Krishna consciousness, we think, how will things happen? How will I be maintained? Lord Jesus Christ, when his followers, he told them, follow me. And they said, well, what about our families? And what about our occupation? And what about our clothing? And what about our food? And he said, don't even think about these things. Don't even consider these things. Have faith. If the Lord is providing for the birds and the bees and the insects and every blade of grass, and they're just inanimate living entities who have no consciousness of God whatsoever, and he's also maintaining the demons who are against God, you do not think that that same loving Father who is within your heart, he will not provide what you need if you surrender your life to his will? What do you have to fear? We are not concerned with the externals. We are concerned with the spirit of bhakti, which means to accept the will of God. So therefore, in this beautiful chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is so wonderfully explained through the example of the Lord Himself, how when Krishna takes upon Himself to help you, what doubt or question should you have as in regard to whether everything is all right? The demigods and the demons, they could not lift this mountain for more than a few seconds at a time. What to speak of carry it for miles and miles and miles away? They had to carry it, not only miles, they had to carry it to another planet where the ocean of milk was. It was an impossible feat, even for the greatest rulers of the world. But Krishna wanted to show, not only them, but he wanted to show all of us, that if he wants to lift something, there is nothing too heavy for him to lift. He simply lifted the mountain effortlessly. Sometimes the sins within our heart are compared to a mountain. The accumulation of sin after sin after sin from millions of births has created an immovable mountain. And sometimes when we try to become free from our material propensities, it seems impossible. How many of you have had that experience? The conditionings toward the attractions of material life, even though we are trying and struggling so hard, whether we're brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis, is very difficult. This material energy, Krishna says, Daivi Heshu Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. It's impossible to overcome. It's like you single-handedly trying to move one of the Himalayan mountains with your own hands. That's the chances you have of giving up all your material inclinations in life. So this mountain of material attraction, of sinful desire. Sinful means any desire apart from the will of Guru and Krishna. It is sinful. This mountain is within our heart and it seems immovable, impossible. How to move it? It's not a question of whether we're in this position or that position. It's a question of, unless Krishna comes and personally moves it for us, we're hopeless. But when Krishna sees that we are sincere, when Krishna sees that we are obediently trying to assist His divine plan, when He sees that we are willing to make His will our will, in other words, when we surrender, then Krishna takes this mountain right from our heart. He takes our soul and lifts it up. This story, although it is factual history, it is also very symbolic, a very, very inner truth. How Krishna can effortlessly lift this mountain is the same way He can effortlessly lift the mountain of sins and material attractions that are within your heart. If you simply, like the demigods and the demons, they accepted His will. Understand the demons, what sinful people they are. But because they accepted Krishna's will, He lifted this mountain for them. It was Krishna's will that the demigods and the demons work together for the sake of moving this mountain. And even though it was an impossible feat, because they simply accepted, yes, we will try to do it, this is the will of God. Even though the demons had so many ulterior motives, because they accepted the will of God, Krishna took it upon Himself. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupashate tesham nityabhiyuktoyam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Krishna preserves what we have and He carries what we lack, but not until we give all of our energy. It's not that He will carry what you lack if you're just a lazy fellow thinking Krishna will do it. First, you have to try as hard as you can. If you try as hard as you can, whatever deficiencies you have, Krishna will come and effortlessly take care. You see, Krishna did not even consider lifting this mountain until the demons and the demigods put all of their effort into it. And when they put their lives and souls into this project of moving this mountain, then Krishna said, all right, you have given everything that you have. Whatever's the balance, I will take.
This is how Krishna deals with his devotees.
If you give everything you have to serve Guru and serve Krishna, then whatever the balance is for the purpose of executing that order,
Krishna will accept. He will accept
that responsibility.
That is his promise.
Therefore, we have nothing to fear. On any level, a devotee is Abhaya Charanadavindare.
He is fearless.
Because he knows that when you surrender to Krishna, when you surrender to Guru's will,
then you're in the hands of God.
Why should I think maybe this, maybe that, but what about this and what about that? This
is the material world of duality. When you surrender to Krishna, you're no longer under the laws of material duality. You're in Krishna's hands. He takes. Abhaya Charanadavindare. Nothing to fear.
Of course, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, that the demoniac class of men, they are not willing to accept the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Therefore, when they read such stories, as this story from Srimad Bhagavatam, they consider that it is mythology. They consider that it is fiction. It's not true. It represents some very philosophical idea, which is very important for the common man to understand. But there is no historical truth behind these stories. After all, how can anyone lift a mountain? How can anyone marry 16,108 wives and have a palace for each one of them? How can anyone open their mouth and show the whole universe within it? They are seeing, the gross atheists, they are seeing that it is all just fiction. It's the opiate of the masses. It's just to intoxicate people and make people counterproductive to real progress in society, all these stories. Therefore, they should be abandoned. People who are a little more pious, they say, oh, well, the message behind these stories is very good. Because the common man is basically ignorant. You know, they're not so highly educated and sophisticated in their philosophical prowess as us. So therefore, they require these simple little stories to teach them certain lessons. But there's no real truth to these stories. Why do they think like this? For one reason alone. Because they do not want to surrender. Because as soon as you accept that God is a person, that God does exist, and he is the supreme personality of Godhead, then you have to accept that he can do anything. And if he is a person, and he could do anything, he's not just a fictional character, but he's a reality, then you have to surrender to him. You have to obey him. They do not want to surrender to him. They do not want to obey him. They want to live according to their conceptions of what they like and what they do not like. But surrender means no more considering what I like or what I don't like. Surrender means no more considering what I think is good and what I think is bad. Surrendering even means not even considering my conception of spiritual advancement. Surrendering means tad vidhi paniprati na pari prasnena sevaya upatekshanti te jnanam janinastuta darshanam. Krishna explains, what is surrender? If you want to know the truth, you approach Guru, you inquire submissively. What does it mean to inquire submissively? How can I serve? That's what it means. And render service. You inquire, how can I serve, and then you do it. Very simple. Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. What does it mean to be complicated? To think that I know anything. As long as you think you know something, your whole life is complicated. Because you'll always be acting according to your mind's command. Simple means, I do not know anything. I don't know what it means to be a devotee. I don't know what it means to make spiritual advancement. I don't know what is God. I don't know anything. Therefore, Guru Maharaj, how can... What is the truth? How can I serve?
That is Bhagavad Gita. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is bhakti. And you see, if you accept Krishna as the Almighty Personality and his reality, not only a historical reality, but an eternal reality, and you're face to face with him 24 hours a day, then you have to submit yourself. You have to surrender. You have to accept Guru and you have to surrender, because that's God's order. But man, they do not want to accept the Guru. They don't want to accept God. They want to act according to their own desires. Therefore, to cover up their egocentric, demoniac way of viewing this world, they have to somehow or other minimize the existence of God by calling his divine lila mythology. I remember one time Srila Prabhupada was talking with a very, very learned professor of Indology. Indology means a professor of the studies of the philosophy and the history and the religion of India. Very, very, very learned man by material standards. And he explained to Prabhupada that these stories of the Vedas, he said, they have very good, very, very good message, but they are mythology. They are not real stories. Who can do like this? Who could lift the Govardhan here with the little finger of his left hand? I mean, be serious. Srila Prabhupada said, you are a rascal. He said, you are a teacher, you are a professor, you are saying that you know, and you are teaching the people, that the young people like this. This is your concoction. You have no right to teach unless you are teaching the truth. And you have no access to the truth unless you accept a guru. You cannot interpret the Vedas by your own mental speculation. You have to accept a guru, you have to inquire submissively, you have to render service. Otherwise you are not entitled to teach Vedas. So of course this man was not very happy about this, because he was a very wealthy fellow, because he was a famous author, famous professor at major university. But Prabhupada was not concerned. Not only that, but several of his students were sitting in the room with him. Prabhupada said, you are a rascal. In fact, Prabhupada told his secretary, take him out of the room. I don't want to see his face. He's cheating. He's cheating with his students. You see, there's different levels of interfaith preaching. Sometime, according to the time and circumstance, the spiritual master knows exactly how to deal with everybody to establish the truth. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and even Srila Prabhupada sometimes, when he would preach to people, they would say, he would be preaching about how you are not the body, but you are the soul. He would be preaching to an atheist. And they'd start arguing on the basis of trying to defeat points of the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada would say, forget Bhagavad Gita, let's just talk logic. Huh? Many times he would do that. Forget Bhagavad Gita, forget all the scriptures, let's just talk logic. And at other times, if someone tried to talk logic, he would just establish that if you do not accept the word of God, all your logic can never give you the conclusion of the truth. And then he would start reciting Bhagavad Gita. So the guru, he is simply, on behalf of Krishna, establishing the truth. And sometimes it appears like he's even contradicting himself. It even appears that there are contradictions amongst the great acharyas. But there is no contradiction. 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 1 is 4. It appears like a contradiction.
two different ways of reaching for. If you have a small mind, it is a contradiction. How can 3 + 1 is 4? Because I already know that 2 + 2 is 4. How can he say that something else equals 4? Huh? But if you have a higher understanding of mathematics, you know that there are no contradictions. Similarly, there are various sampradayas. And they are approaching the absolute truth. Some are approaching from 3 + 1, some are approaching from 2 + 2. But they're all coming to the point of Krishna. There may be different realizations of Krishna, different levels of realization of Krishna. But they are all approaching Krishna. Therefore, the great Acharyas and the Lord himself in the various scriptures of the world, they are, according to the Kala Desha Patra, the time, place, and person, they are teaching us how that we can approach Krishna. Only if you follow those who are teaching devotion to Radha and Krishna will you attain the supreme planet of Goloka Vrindavan. If you follow the teachings of those who are presenting God as the Supreme Father only, then you will reach the level of Vaikuntha. There is a different lila in Vaikuntha than Goloka. If you are approaching those who are teaching piety, then at the most you will attain the heavenly planets. So different gurus, different saintly persons, and different sampradayas, they're all teaching different aspects of the one supreme God. But God is infinite. Bhagavan. And therefore, how you approach him, he reveals himself accordingly. As you surrender to Krishna, he rewards himself accordingly. But if you do not surrender, he will not reveal himself personally. He will simply reveal himself through material nature. It's not a question of whether I'm a devotee or not. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm a devotee, so therefore, I have nothing to fear. Devotee means to surrender. Surrender means not my will, but thy will be done. Krishna says in Gita, manmana bhavamad bhakto, become my devotee, always think of me, worship me. But how to become his devotee? By surrendering. By surrendering. But what do we know about surrender? We talk about surrender, but we know nothing about surrender. Krishna tests us. Surrender means you have to put aside all your conceptions of what it means to make spiritual advancement. You have to put all your conceptions away of what it means to be happy in this world. And you have to simply accept, as Arjuna accepted. Arjuna was asked by Krishna to do what he hated to do more than anything on earth. He would have rather become a sweeper of the street than kill the people he loved. Surrender meant that Arjuna had to put aside his pride, he had to put aside his ego, he had to put aside his own conditioned conceptions. What is good, what is bad, what is spiritual, what is material. And he simply had to accept, yes, thy will, not my will, be done. What you want, Krishna, that is my life and soul. And of course, we are not so advanced that Krishna is telling us directly. Therefore, Krishna says himself, tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. If you want to understand Krishna, you must approach Guru. You must approach sadhu. They will explain the real essence of the Shastra, the Word of God. And through this process, just by being humble servant, material nature cannot defeat us because we're in Krishna's hands. Krishna is not concerned with anything but our humble service attitude. That is the conclusion of all the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pi vaisho na sudro naham barani na cha grihapatir no vanishto tatir va.
Hintu Pojanikila Paramananda Punamrita Der Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Tanudas.
Varnashram Dharma. I am not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas. These are all Dharma. Sarva Dharma Paritajya. Abandon all Dharma. What does that mean? Gopi Bharatur Pada Kamalayora Das Das Anitas.
That I am only the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Sri Krishna.
Krishna consciousness means to become the servant of the servant of the servant. What does it mean to be servant?
My will is not important. Thy will is important. I have faith in you.
Arjuna had complete confidence that I will kill my relatives, and although it appears that I'm being very cruel, I have faith that it's all good because it is the direction of Krishna.
Huh?
It was a large leap of faith. But because he heard the words of God, he had that faith. And that faith is most important, because based on that faith, we have the courage to surrender with faith.
Surrender means Krishna, Prahlad, when he was thrown off a huge mountain, he was falling through the air, he was fearless. Sarva dharma paritya. If you surrender to Krishna, you're fearless. He knew. He was surrendered. All he had to do was just compromise with his father and say, yes, yes, I'm not a devotee anymore. His father would not. But he knew God's will. God had a plan through him to show the world how he protects his devotee. So Prahlad accepted the position of challenging his own father. And when he was falling off that mountain, he was not going, ah! He was just smiling. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna will save me. Of course he will save me. What's the question of whether he won't save me or not? Now, if you were falling from a mountain, would you be thinking, oh my God, I wonder if Krishna's going to save me? Look, I'm almost at the ledge. Only a few more seconds and I'll hit the ground. Right? Picture it. Put yourself in Prahlad's position. There's a huge mountain. There's nothing else between you and the ground except miles and miles of air. Huh? And you're falling full speed down. Would you question or doubt what will be your fate? Huh? Prahlad did not. Prahlad was fully confident that Krishna would protect me. Because it's his promise. I surrendered. Of course he will protect me. That is the position of one who surrenders. And surrender to Krishna, never consider yourself to be the loser. You will gain hundreds and millions of times. There's no loss ever for one who surrenders to Krishna. Because when you surrender to Krishna, you are given a position in his own heart. And when you have a position in Krishna's heart, you can know that 24 hours a day at all times, Krishna will be there to guide you, to protect you, to lead you on. So what do you have to fear? He will come even in your most struggling moments of life, and he will lift the burden of the mountain of all of our sinful karma. He will lift the burden of the mountain of all of the problems of material existence. Protect you, to lead you on. So what do you have to fear? He will come even in your most struggling moments of life, and he will lift the burden of the mountain of all of our sinful karma. He will lift the burden of the mountain of all of the problems of material existence.